Martha Kirsten Clemenson, mother of Anna Maria Whiting. By Anna Maria Isaacson Whiting as told to Geraldine Brown Sagers. Martha Christina Clemenson was born in Denmark, May 7, 1822, Jagand, Thisted County. Her father was Clement Nielsen Dahl and her mother was Maren Christensen. They lived along the coast on one of the small islands, as Martha's father was a fisherman. The family was very poor, and always in need. Martha often told her children that she would never forget Denmark had been at war with Germany, and there was a famine in the land. One night, when she was just a small girl, her father came home and there was nothing in the house left for him to eat but the potato peelings. Martha was the second child. A brother was older. When she was only 9 years old, Martha's father died, leaving his wife with 6 small children to raise. The finances of the family made it impossible for the mother to keep all her family, so she had to let the older ones go out to work. The boys had to apprentice to a tradesman. Martha's mother signed the papers for Martha to go to work for a well-to-do man who lived on another island. He would keep Martha for 7 years under that agreement. One must wonder what went through the mother's mind as she sent her daughter off, maybe never to see her again. Time passed and Martha stayed much longer than 7 years. In fact, she never returned home to live again until she joined the church when she was grown. On the big farm where Martha went to live, her first job was to tend the ducks and geese. There were lots of them and they had to be carefully kept, because there was such a demand for the feathers for bedding. Martha was only one of many servants. She was often homesick, but she knew that she couldn't go home because her father was dead, and her mother could not support and feed all the children. We complain about going without things today, but we have never had to give up our children because we couldn't feed them. I hope we never know such hard times as they had then. As soon as Martha was old enough, she went into the fields to bind grain. All day long she followed the reapers and bound grain by hand. Early in the morning and late at night, before and after going to the fields to work, the women had to milk the cows, fix the meals, do the housework, and look after the butter and cream. The men considered it beneath them to milk the cows or do any work or chores around the house. The women did this in addition to their work in the fields. Martha was never idle. She would sit in bed long after the others were asleep and knit in the dark. It was too cold to stay up and knit, so she would get into bed most of the time to keep warm. She learned to knit so well that she made all her sweaters and stockings in bed. For her wages, Martha received the wool from 2 sheep a year to use for clothes. She had to cord and spin and knit all the wool herself. She received her board and room and $8 a year in cash. Of course, she saved most of her money. Some of it she gave to her mother. Her mother had to furnish her 1 pair of wooden shoes a year. They were very comfortable and warm, and didn't get cold and wet in the snow. I know, for I wore wooden shoes all the time when I was a girl. Father made them for us. Each person was required by the law to keep a record book when he started to work. Wherever the person went, he took his book in the Lord. As the headman was called, he worked for would write in the book what he had done, how good he could work, and how he had behaved. The Lord, whom Martha worked for, was a mean person. If he didn't like his workers, he wouldn't write anything good in their books, and they were forced to stay and work for him, as no one else wanted to hire a person who couldn't show good records. Martha stayed on longer, as she knew what her records would say if she tried to go anywhere else. Met was Martha's younger sister, and when she was old enough to go out to work, she wanted to go where Martha was. She knew the work was hard and long and the master was cruel, but Met thought she could stand these hardships better than to go someplace alone. Martha was glad when Met came. She had been so lonesome. Now she had one of her very own family with her. She did everything she could to make things easier for her sister in the field, because Met was not very strong. Martha often did her own work and as much of Met's as she could. Met couldn't quite keep up with the others when they were cradling the grain. Each man who cradled had a binder who was a woman. The woman followed the man and bound the grain into the sheaves. One day Met had an extra hard time keeping up. She kept getting farther and farther behind. Finally, she was a whole round behind the cutter. When the man who was cutting saw how far behind Met was, he started teasing her and acting smart. They used big long scythes to cut the grain, and he would try to see how close he could swing to Met as he was cutting the next round and came to where she was still tying. Each time he would cut a little closer to her legs. Then he slipped and the blade of the scythe caught Met across the thigh. The blood just poured out. One man picked her up and carried her on his back to the house. The cut was too deep and Met bled to death before they could do anything to help her. It was harvest time and the Lord couldn't stop at the death of one woman. There was plenty more to work in her place. If they weren't able to do that, they weren't worth bothering with. Martha could only stand helplessly by and watch her little sister die. This was the greatest sorrow of her life, and though she lived to be an old woman, she never ceased to grieve for her sister, whose death seemed so unnecessary and cruel. Even then Martha remained at the same place. She had to go right on working for the thoughtless lord of the farm and with the worker who had killed her sister. Martha stayed there until the missionaries came to Denmark and she heard them preach the gospel. Then she knew that there was a better way to live. She believed what they taught and was ready to join the church. Martha's mother, Maren Clemensen, was the first person on the island where she lived to join the church. Three of her children were baptized, but two of her daughters never did join the church. Martha came home from the farm where she had been working, and the family got ready to sail to America. Her mother felt sad to think her other daughters were not going with them, but she had a very strong testimony of the gospel, and knew that they would find a better way of life than they had there. Martha, her mother, her brother, and sister sailed for America in a sail ship Sambria in 1854. The ship sailed for some time, but there was so much storm and wind that in a few weeks they landed right back where they sailed from. More provisions had to be secured and they set out again. In February 1855, on the James Nesmith, they landed in New Orleans. From there they went on to Missouri and joined a company of saints who were crossing the plains. While crossing the plains, Martha's mother Maren died of hunger and the dreadful disease of cholera. This was a sad experience for the children, because they knew how much their mother had wanted to reach Zion. Martha and her brother and sister came on to Salt Lake. She got a job working for Apostle Lorenzo Snow in his home, to earn her board and room. She was thankful for this job. She had always been a very hard and conscientious worker, thus she did her best for his family. They appreciated her and she often said how she loved to live in their home, where they were so kind. The Snow family, at that time, was in very dire circumstances, but they never let it make any difference in how nice their home was kept. Every day, every member of the family had a bath. The home was always kept neat and clean. Food was very scarce, but what there was always served nicely. One meal a day they could have hot pancakes. Often the other two meals were potatoes, nothing else. They never had bread, because they couldn't afford the flour. Martha worked in this home for about a year. Many of the Danish people were going to San Pete County to live. Martha's family was going too, so she decided to go and be near them. After she got to San Pete, she met Peter Isaacson again. They had both come over to America on the same ship. Peter asked Martha if she was married yet, and she said, "No, are you?" Peter said, "No, I am waiting for you." Soon after that, Martha and Peter were married. Martha had real black hair and dark brown eyes. Her eyes could really snap and pop when she got mad. She was an exception in the family, as the rest of her family were light-complexioned. She had only one dark-eyed, dark-haired child, and that was the first one who died as a child. Martha was not a very large woman. She was always considered good-looking. Someone once asked Peter, "Say, you married that good-looking dark-eyed girl, didn't you?" "Sure," Peter would say, "I wouldn't have married her if she hadn't been good-looking." Peter and Martha lived in Ephraim. 4 children were born to them. Peter, who died as a child, Isaac, Anna Maria, and Martin. They built a 4-room adobe home, a good rock barn, and a granary in which they stored away several thousand bushels of wheat. Peter had a good farm and always took good care of it, and Martha always worked hard to help him. They were part owners with Henry Beale, in one of the first reapers and binders that came to town, and they cut grain both night and day for people who were not so fortunate. Martha could never get over the marvelous work this machine did. She was amazed that the only thing left for the women to do was to glean the grain, if they wanted to do that. The old house was quite small, so they made plans for a larger rock home. After much hard work, they had it almost completed when they were called to go to Arizona. They left the house and finished it 20 years later when they came back. These pioneers of Sanpete experienced a similar situation to that of the early pioneers in Salt Lake Valley. If it was less spectacular and less well known, it was nevertheless remembered long in the hearts of those who experienced it. Several years after Martha and Peter were married, a plague of grasshoppers came to Ephraim. They came in such herds they made a cloud which covered the sun. Everyone joined in the fight against them. The grain was just in the dough stage, when it was best so the grasshoppers could suck the milk from the grain. The men all dug trenches around their fields. They filled these trenches with straw, and the people would form a line and drive the grasshoppers into the straw. Then they would set the straw afire and burn the grasshoppers. In this way, the people were able to save some of their grain. Peter had a big herd of chickens, which he turned loose on the field. This helped to get rid of some, but the main thing it did was to scare the grasshoppers away. Martha and Peter were always thankful that they had had the chickens to let loose, because they felt that was what saved most of their grain. Peter also raised good gardens. He raised so many peas that they threshed them with a thresher and used them for cow and pig feed. His potatoes were always a good crop. He stored them well and kept them in a deep pit. Often the extra potatoes were used to feed the cows and pigs, if other food was scarce. Martha was always at Peter's side in all he worked at around their home and garden. Martha didn't like the thoughts of going to Arizona. She hated to leave her brother and sister in Ephraim. But she knew that they must answer the call of the leaders of the church. 2 years after Peter had first gone to Arizona, he returned for his family and moved them down. Martha drove a team and wagon most of the way. Her son Martin had a toothache all the way, and had to spend most of the time in her wagon. Life at the new fort in Arizona was very different for Martha. She wasn't used to working the way they did there. She was not very well part of the time, and eating at the big table never did appeal to her. Much of the food they served she couldn't eat. I carried her food to her when she was not well enough to go to the table. One summer she got so hungry for some of the fresh food that was growing in the garden she could hardly stand it. Especially did she want a watermelon. There were just a few ripe. It was forbidden for anyone to take a melon before enough were ripe to divide for all, and the bishop's council had recently held a trial for some of the men who worked in the fields and had eaten some of the melons. Martha had waited as long as she could. Finally, one day she went down to the field and picked herself a melon. She ate part of it there in the field, then came marching back through the fort with the rest of it under her arm. No one ever said a word about it to her, though she expected them to, but probably they didn't dare, for she had a temper. Martha was never idle. She took her term with the tasks of the fort. All her spare time was spent courting, spinning, and knitting wool. She made all her family's stockings. She also corded wool for quilts. She loved to work with quilts because they were something new. She had never seen any quilts in Denmark, the old country as she would say. There they always slept with feather beds or dun, as they were called in Danish, both over and under them. In Denmark they had so many geese and ducks that they used these entirely for their bedding. The bed ticks were woven out of wool yarn and filled with feathers. One quilt Martha made was pieced completely from the legs of old hand-knitted socks, which she cut up after the feet were worn out. There was always a need for more pretty pieces to put into a quilt. Her quilts were always made by hand until the family got a machine in Arizona to sew with. To Martha, that machine was as wonderful as the reaper and binder. She was so pleased when she learned how to run it. When the United Order was dissolved and the Brigham City site abandoned, Martha moved with her family to the Meadows. There she was more content and not so homesick. She made butter and sold it along with her eggs and milk, buttermilk, and Dutch cheese. She would pick up little wormy apples and cook with brandy for the chickens. Her mind was always on them, and she knew and loved each hen and chick. She never wasted one feather. Even when a chicken died, she would save the feathers for bedding and pillows. This was the kind of work Martha knew very well. She always found a good market among the people in St. John's, which was a few miles up the Little Colorado River. About twice a week Peter took her to town to sell her things. Often they went with an ox team and wagon. They owned a team of horses, but Ike had those working on the railroad part of the time. The people of St. John's would take everything they had to sell, because they were so hungry for fresh dairy products. This was about the only cash income they had. Occasionally Peter could spare a beef to sell or a load of hay. An old custom which Martha never gave up was that of gleaning the grain from the field after the harvesters were through. Her sack of wheat, gleaned in Brigham City, was practically the only seed they had to plant the first year at the Meadows. Martha had spent too many years doing this type of work in Denmark to sit idly by and see all the grain which the threshers left in the field go to waste. So she spent hours gleaning in the grain fields, and with her would usually be some of her good Scandinavian friends. Martha and Peter's oldest son, Ike, married Elsina Peterson. They had 11 children and lived in St. John's, Arizona. I married Edwin Whiting. We lived in Arizona, then later in Utah, and then back in Arizona. Martin married Mary Jemina Beale, and they had 8 children while living in Ephraim, Utah. When I moved back to Utah, Martha wanted to go back too. She had always longed to be back by her relatives, and now with my family and me gone, she thought she couldn't bear to be way down in Arizona any longer. Peter took her back, and then he returned to stay 2 more years as bishop in Arizona. When Edwin and I decided to go back to Arizona the second time, Martha did not want to move again. I went back 3 times to see my parents and spent about a month each time. Ike went back and spent most of one winter with them. Martin, his wife and family lived near them, and saw to it that their needs were met, and they were cared for the rest of their lives. Martha was an intelligent and wise woman, and even though she never learned to read or write in English, she kept accurate accounts of her earnings from the eggs, dairy products and fruit she sold. She learned early in life she must earn her bread by the sweat of her brow, which she did all of her life. She had no chance for education as a girl, but she encouraged and insisted her children learn so they could read and write. She was so grateful that she and some of the other members of her family had the chance to join the church and come to America. She felt that the Lord had truly blessed them by leading them here, where they had so much better way of life than they could ever have had in Denmark. She was always grateful for her husband and her family, with which she had been blessed. Note: family records indicate that she had older and young siblings. A postscript about Met. After Martha and Peter were married and living in Ephraim, Utah, they did the temple work for Martha's sister Met, who as a teenager had died on a wheat field in Denmark before Martha joined the church. Martha served as proxy for Met's endowments and the Manti Temple. They also sealed Met to Peter in the Endent House September 20, 1871. The sisters, close in mortality, will be close always.